explained this morning, Father and God's safety. The first thing we said, you must have got the book of complaint, you must have got the answer to the reason. So, if it was a desire in our hearts, and our ears, and we're very excited to be here, I just want to say thank you to that person, for your hospitality, guys. I really appreciate it. People like to stay over in our hearts. It is really pressure on me, because our kids are more or less the same age as they are. It is crazy. This morning I just had a chapel, which there are six kids under 8 that we have to get ready for church. Isn't it crazy? To get everybody to eat something and then, I said to him, well, just dress the baby. Oh no, he has food. You just feed the baby first, then you dress the baby. Yeah, so I'm going to let the call something about the parents. Yeah, thank you that your house is open to us. I've been hosting many people in last week and we need to come, so we really appreciate it. That's the great thing about the Mountains. We're a church family. It's really a simple family. And wherever we go, we can just say, yes, yes, we're on our way. Is the Shelby family waiting for us? We need accommodation. We need just a coffee to feed. We need a bathroom. And then, that's really nice. My job is, first of all, to be a rich wife. He's somewhere, I don't know where he is, but he's somewhere with our youngest at the moment. And second to that, my job is to be a mom to our three children, 8, 6, and 3 years old. And then I help bring with our congregation in Worcester, and then I also oversee the kids' church for Shoka, all the churches. The preschool, he is my job. And then Sian is why, most of you know Sian, she will do the primary school. So I work with children a lot. Lessons for them. I train the teachers that I'm supposed to train them. So you'll hear a lot about the children and where we want to go with them today as well. It's just naturally flowing out of my heart because I have such a passion for them. What do we leave behind for them that are coming behind us? I do move around a lot when I preach, so I just want to check my time so you have to stay with me. I always say, Uncle Angus, when you need to start, you know, speak to me on the stage. So I can also skip. Stage like this, I can run and go wrong. I really believe the Holy Spirit has worked for you this morning. It doesn't matter that we are feeling here. If there were one person here, it would happen. In the worship, we just said, the Holy Spirit reminded me when Jesus was in the room with the little girl. He was alone and then he said to her, Tabitha, rise, stand up. It was just the two of them. Right there, Jesus just turned and he said, God's resurrection power. So we are more than one here today. So I really trust that. Holy Spirit with a great things here today, right? It's called to speak together. Your room is maybe not needed, so make sure that you're going to go back and you're going to go home, right? I just want to pray for stuff. Okay, Father, we just thank you for today. That this is Sunday, that we are so privileged to be able to come to church, Lord. No reason we can't let us go, we don't have to go out and run, Lord. We can just be here, Lord. We can come into your presence, Lord. Lord, what a privilege. Father, we want to praise you. Saving us. Thank you that you are in control, like my brother said just now. Lord, we can give all control to you, Father, and that we can trust you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. I honor your presence. I thank you that nothing that I can say, I know nothing can change these people, only you can. So I just give my words, my mouth, my message now to you, Holy Spirit, and I pray that you direct me and lead me. Thank you that you love these people dearly. I just think those who are saying some of you are going through a really painful time. And you just want to encourage you that he's there with you. In your pain or in your frustration, he knows God that he's there with you. So Lord, we just thank you for that. Thank you that we can have fun. Because where your spirit is there, we can have fun with you. Amen. Alright. I want to share a few things with you before I start. I was studying children's ministry the other day. One of our teachers told me she had this lesson all planned that she's going to teach the kids how we have the ability to actually step on Satan, strap on Satan, because we can do that through Jesus. So she's an Afrikaans teacher with an Afrikaans class, and she had everything ready. And now the kids coming, and she started, she said to them right now, stay on site. And she will give an example. She will tell them, okay, so if you come into in the kitchen and you want to heat your system, you feel you want to heat your system, what can you do? And then must all shout, stay on site then. Right? Kitchen is best loud, right? To do that it's far from here. Actually, you should be wrong. And then the next thing will be, if you want to steal something, what must you do? Stay on safe. So they shout on this. Just like 5, 6 examples. They're going. So they're in the room. They're going, they're going. And all of a sudden, somebody raises his hand and he asks them, who is saying? And he's like, oh, who is there? But I guess he goes out the window. We once had a boy in our kids' church, very rebellious. And he was one of those with a really strong personality. So he can really just change the classroom's atmosphere. And then the kids don't want to listen to him. So once again, I had a wonderful teacher, and she was just interacting with Holy Spirit, and she takes this boy outside, it's not the first time, and she said to him, and says to him, John, she said, John, what is wrong? We cannot go on like this. All the kids are looking to you, nobody is listening to you. We need to see what the Lord wants to teach us today about it. And he just stands to take his turn. If Jesus is real, how can it come real way? And she realizes right there, she doesn't know who is real, but God does. So she just listens to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tells her. She said, John, your birthday is the 25th of March. And right there, John broke down in tears, John's life changed around. One moment where God is just put in point and say, I know who you are, and I am for you, and the boy's life changed around. It's so beautiful. Another family that were in our kids' church when we were still in fall. Terrible things happened to the family. They lost everything. And I walked around with the kids, and just after a while, they moved on really to congregate. I didn't see that thing that happened. But I see how they grew up in kids' church. I see how everybody at school, everybody in the town knew about this grace of the family or what happened. So they really got from tough and all around. And then on a Sunday, with the parents in the week, I can see that those kids have really encountered some Jesus. And I can see what's happening in their lives today. And I know that is not religious. Whoever was walking the road, whoever was discipling, was really real. And that's why they can still serve Jesus, although they had to go through all of that terrible stuff. Anyway, so, end of November last year, we moved to Worcester. Stellenbosch to Brisbane. The move came about quite suddenly. So for those of you who have moved in your life, really shake you up. All my dad's stuff comes to the front. I'm under pressure. I lost all good manners, whatever. And you have to keep everybody together. The kids and the husband, trying to keep it all together, but I was just falling apart. We moved quite a lot in the last 5, 6 years, so this is just another move I'm going to do. Here we go. We didn't get a house, so we had to move in with my parents for a month. They had not found a house in Worcester. It's very small, so we had to move all the kids into one room. It's just all these changes. And all my weaknesses came to the front. Everything. We really had a tough time. But God has shown me again, when you are under pressure, He brings these things to the surface. And then you can face them, and then you can, that's me. I mean, my goodness, look at that, huh? And what that looks at you, and you realize that is you, and you are broken. You need to say, my prayer, the last 6 months, my favorite prayer was to you, just save me. Save me. I teach you the peace as well. I say, every morning, we need to ask Jesus to save us. From our selfish ambitions, from our lack of discipline, from our addiction, from what Jesus needs to save us. So God kind of took it to the next level, because even in my strengths, I found that I can't do anything. I struggle to cook. One night, my boy was very honest and said to me, gee, Mom, you must be bad. Really bad food. So the cooking went out the window, and my self-discipline went out the window, lots of things. Lord, you did nothing that I'm good at. God is telling me, I'm here. You need me. You need to come out. You need to get some. I was driving one day in Worcester, and I saw a beggar woman next to the road. And the Holy Spirit just dropped into my heart. You need salvation more than that wilderness. And that's to find you for a long time. I need salvation more than that wilderness salvation. And you think, no, I'm fine. Look at me, I'm clean, I'm dressed, I have food on the table, I have a roof over my head. So none of that. But anything about salvation, right? God doesn't know that you need salvation more than that. You need salvation more than the wilderness to go.
Thank you.
is my choice. It is not how me to get these children, though I don't have any of those, and it will not help me to get these children. That took me a while after I started to think about the lessons, and then I realized the things that I build into my boy need to be the right thing so that he can go home with me one day. My kids love me because they get very excited about praying for him. I just say, woo! I can't wait to use my question. I want to go home. And every now and again, we really get stuck and I get all the pressure is on us. Jesus, I just want to go home. You know, it's like, no, 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 so where my married family came from, all the way from the Netherlands, where they came to the cave, what happened, where did they come, where did they live, to what, until we were there. Anyway, so one line caught my eye. I went through the whole thing, and it was fascinating to see where it come from. And then the one line said, Oma Kuti and Oma Mi pray for their sins. They had a fear of the Lord, and they prayed for their sins. The only thing about Oma and I'm like, whoa, there was actually someone praying for me. They didn't know what I looked like. They were about 22 to 3rd. But they knew that there was a deceiving coming and they prayed for me. Maybe it was safe. Knowing that there was prayer going on for me long ago. And through a few generations, I think the Lord is one of them to answer that prayer because my family has a platform, many religious spirits, many traditions, etc. And then my mom started to pray for me. And then our four kids are all serving the Lord. I'm so thankful for their prayers. But Oma Mi and Oma Kuti, I've never met, but they prayed for us. They set the scene somewhere, knowing that they have to leave something behind for their children. Okay, I have to go to the Bible as well. I'm going to tell you about King David. Now we all know the story of King David. And King David had such a passionate heart for the Lord. He just couldn't wait to speak some time for him. You can take a special first. Yeah. So obviously we know that David did a few big moves in his life, right? He committed adultery and he committed murder. And because he loved the Lord so much, he desired to build God a temple. So he said, Lord, look at my beautiful palace in which I live. You still live in that temple made of material and things and whatever. I want to make a beautiful, beautiful temple. Because obviously he was really trying to do it. And then the Lord said to David, David, because you committed to murder, you will not build me your son Solomon the Lord. So this was David's greatest desire, to build this house for the Lord. So I want to speak to you, what is your greatest desire? Because today the God said no, that you cannot build that thing. So David had a choice. He could go sit in the corner and cry about it and be heard to the Lord. Or he could say, all right, Lord, I cannot build a temple, but then I'll prepare everything I possibly can for the temple so that Solomon can just not build. That's what he did. So he collected all the timber, all the gold, all the silver, all the whatever, everything gave up away from him. And he said, ready and in place so that his boy can just build a temple. So it's just beautiful. And then Solomon, now I can throw a scripture in 1 Kings 2 verse 12. Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and look at this, and his kingdom was firmly established. So David established a firm kingdom for his son, although he could not, he wasn't released to do these great tasks like build a temple. He said, as a right one, I will still establish a firm kingdom for my boy, he had God. And they did another one, and I'm going to speak a little bit further on. Now, therefore, the Lord did, he has confirmed me, it's now Solomon's speaking, and set me on the throne of David, my father, and who has established a house for me. There was something established for that boy to start his kingship from. And that is where I want to say spiritually, say, we spiritually have to build and prepare a house for a palace. For those coming after us. We have to do it. Has it been done for us? I believe it has. universally. And then I asked that in all the shepherd congregations. So I asked the movement, what does God want us to lead for those generations coming after us? What is God's will? What is the will? And this is a sin on my mind, and this is something that you need to go think about. Because I believe, you know, that they have the God's yet for them. But there must be something that God has for us, and we must pursue that, and build that, and create that. And what I see in David is this beautiful David was a parent. And he did that. He said, Lord, I receive your word from you. I hear what you say, it is alright, Lord. Stay safe, not harm. It's okay. I will be kind of person, but I will forgive you. And each day I ask to God, each day to say, Lord, if I never get to this day, if I never get to shine, if I never get to go to that temple and see you in that temple, will it be fine for you? A couple of years ago, I had to give my temple up. I had to say, Lord, I cried a river because of what I was doing, because I had awakened in the Western Cape. And after a while, I could see my fellow start to run. Because it was literally like a little river. And he stopped to say that. He said, Lord, I give it up. But what do you want me to do? Because that I'm running. What is your idea for me to do? Because everything I wanted to do is very noble. It was called God's kingdom. I want to do this to give God your great intentions. But if it's not in God, God is not going to happen. It's just going to frustrate you. So what is on demand for us? Now, in Christians, we keep it easy. Okay, Adam and Eve, God designed it. They messed up, so they came into the world. We needed a savior from that. Okay, so Jesus came as the second Adam, and he's our savior. Okay, so through Jesus, we can actually have a personal relationship with our Father, and we can go to heaven. And that's basically it. The only thing that can go with you to heaven is fill of souls, fill of people. So if I can explain it to them, it's very easy. You can't take your toy, you can't take your land, and you can't take your favorite food. You can only take your friend. So for us, you can only take your friend, you only can take people. What I was spending on time and our money. And here I want to say, quickly going to go through the qualities where we need to stick on safety. Because we need to take souls with us to heaven. So we need to build strong relationships. And that is the one the enemy knows that you will want to be there all the time. That is why we need to affect the unity in the church, unity in marriage, unity in any place where people are supposed to be united. He's guiding and waiting there. And we are just allowing him most of the time. So today, I'm just pleasing to say, like we do, you can stand on Satan and say no. And fight for your relationships and fight for unity. Alright? So quickly got to write through our test and a few of the guy. If you focus on your relationships and unity, the first thing is to learn about yourself. Your unity with the Heavenly Father. When last did you really push in? When last did you really just quiet also to listen to what he has to say to you. I can't go to deep, I just want to leave it with you. I had a mommy call me the other day. She said to me, Angela, my will is now up to 2.5. I didn't know how to teach the Bible to her. Me and my husband, I was sitting strong, we could not communicate about this. I need a curriculum so that I can teach her. I said, oh, okay. A curriculum is not going to fix this all. If you have a desire to start with your child, you need to get to the Lord. What is God showing you? And you need to go further. That's actually these days. Discipling is just to facilitate my kids to actually see Jesus, to actually take his hand, to actually walk with him. So I think it's exactly the same. And the first thing she said is, I'm really struggling with my wife. It's really difficult to get to the Lord. And I said, well, the rest of you can get, that is where you must go to. Because God needs to build it up. And he explained to me about how he can take the little that you have, make it many, you go and tell that to the world. You do the fishes and the bread with them, you tell them how Jesus is telling you, the little that you did, you will make many, etc. Alright. So when we find that in our quiet time, and you just speed it up. A few years ago, we went to East Church training in Durban, Greece, and we were fed up. Order, pork, flour, we don't know how to do it anymore. And our teachers are not that good. What need to make it frustrated. And anything the world throws at you will drive you from that place. If you are married, you have to move your wife. All I did is cry. Being places in my marriage where I was clueless and I had no hope. But in that place, I said, Lord, I cry out to you for this marriage and for this reason. I cannot do it anymore. I cannot fix it. I don't know how to fix it. Every time God prays to restore, rewrite my marriage, it was better than before. Can I believe it? That I will believe it to you. You get angry with your husband and you get angry with your leadership. And the devil allows that and he will flame that. He will lower that flame because he wants you to get angry. He wants you to break that unity between husband and wife and your leadership. The moment that Rick and I are starting to touch, what we was to blame you for your leadership? Your love, I let him get out again, let him get out again, let him get out. There's nothing to do with it. God is busy with us and we just need to honor him. Do not let the devil make you a enemy for leadership. Sort it out, give it to the Lord, make sure that it's done. And with our children, our community, with our children, and our relationship with our children, I can actually talk a lot about that and how I do for a living. But I just want to leave with you. We promise God when we dedicate our babies to the Lord, that we will teach them their ways. I don't see many parents here today. But every time I teach or when I tell people that, I'm reminded, because that is what we promise. Are you discipling them? Very important. I can have a wonderful relationship with my children as well. I need to disciple them. My kids are getting to the age where when I see that they go through a tough time, I can actually sit with them and say, okay, what are your stories? You need to tell these parents. I can't say anything. Mama's not with you when you go to school, but then you push up the wall. What are you going to do? Who are you going to cry out to? Who's going to protect you? Right? And disciple them. And the most beautiful moments that I have with my kids where I experience the Holy Spirit most, when I go on my knees, look them in the eye and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about my almost not being alone, Mama. Right there, so tangible I feel that story. Will you forgive me? I always start to cry. Will you forgive me? Give you a hug, it speaks again. We as parents, as older people, we struggle to say sorry for those who have given us. We need to say sorry for them. We need to ask them for forgiveness. What is the goal when you're a parent or when you're a disciple? What is the goal? It's very easy for me to get the hope people and to believe in the hope people. And to give you the mind and I know what is the goal. Why am I doing it? That is why I'm doing it. So it's easy for me to bear with them. Easy for me to discipline. My goal for my children is they have to be obedient to my voice. Because one of these days they will move from under my authority, they will move under directly God's authority. And if God speaks to them, they must listen and obey. So if I am not teaching them so that now at the age they are, they will not obey the Lord. And many of us are struggling to obey the Lord, and that's maybe why. You will not properly discipline. So that is my goal in my parenting, so it makes it easier. Am I in the mood always to say anything? Am I in the mood to sit there down and have a job? No. Yeah, maybe you can do that. But if I know why it's so precious and important, I do it easy. Alright. Our family, just want to throw it in there. We need to honor our families to the God we say. Our parents, the Lord, our cousins, whatever we are going through, some tough family situations at the moment, and I fail at this because I judge with my mouth, I will say something that's not honorable. How are we honoring our family with what we say? Alright? That's also the number two. Alright. Friends, I just want to leave something with you about friends. We struggle to listen to one another in the days that we live. It's just so many things going around. Everybody wants this time, the love time. I just want to share with everybody. I haven't found a very lucky friend yet in Worcester. So I don't think all my talking has to be read. He has to listen to me. When we're going to the car driving, I'm thinking, oh, I'm so much time to talk to. We have a need to talk, and we need to listen. We want to get ready to listen to people. At a stage, we need people get more counseling or whatever. I'm not good with counseling. So it was a signing up to come to counseling with me. Lord, I don't know how to tell it. I don't know how to do that. I have no experience in counseling. I really don't know how to help this person. God says to me, I mean, I put on a kettle, take out the tissues, and listen to them. I will bring the healing, I will bring the breakthrough, I will bring the hope, you just need to listen and you pray for me. It's really interesting. Many times I see that people, and myself, we can take other people's burdens that we're putting on ourselves. You don't have to do that. You can give that to Jesus. A good friend will walk the road with you. My sister always gives people for counseling that nobody else has any hope for anymore. They've been to all the past wives, everybody has to, they can't be grateful. What is she doing to other than the other people? Girl, I'm going to walk forward to you. I don't have time in my day, but you are coming to exercise. So they will walk around the neighborhood and ask the book, this girl will start to share, and they will start to walk. She has none. I'm just going to fast and pray with you. Everybody can fast and pray. So they will fast and pray, they will get together, they will walk around the neighborhood. So she is just diligently waiting for her until the breakthrough comes. Here we go. Alright? That's just a good friend, right? And not to be, honest with the trade. Community. Fight for our relationships and our communities. This is difficult. I started to coach hockey at my first school this year. So all of a sudden, I have new parents and teachers. Just normal people. I don't get into large group of people are unsafe. I seldom get there. So this is really exciting to me. You are in the workplace, you get that off. But the first time I get a comment just behind me while I'm blowing this pistol or I'm buying this snack. All they say that about me. You know? It's just playtime. And I feel like, yeah, you're here to serve it. You're here to fight for the unity here. You just relax. Then the parents love to see you to come and tell me what to do. Then the leading child is called to be. The parent runs on the field. It's like, what do you guys face? They can't be on the field. Last year, the people were very difficult. You must take the boy over. So what do you think? I'm very lucky. It's not good. Got it. It's not good. But so they can't face. And they are nasty sometimes. And they look like a great boy played last year in the A side. Now it's the B side. Sorry for you. Anyway, so we need to ask the Lord just to fight for those parents, for the relationship. And what I find here around the corner is God is fighting for us. They actually like me. And they actually like us. They're really proud of when we show up for us and they get our children. Alright? But they're really proud of it. Right? And they see there's something that is life. There's something that is working. Okay? So anyway, that's what I mean. You really need to fight for it. We need to be not afraid as the Lord, I'm just so unfortunate. Now, all of that I just said is very difficult. It is very difficult. We are in a war. Okay, it's very powerful. It's tough. So, what if God made us? There's a pressure girl there. This time I showed up by coming. The whole world was coming by coming there. Because we did not look far for the God. Because this is precious to us. This was my Bible, which Luke has taken over at the moment. I believe in one that in fact I can trace in the car. And it's my Bible. It's my comfort. It's my teddy bear. I want to keep it close. It's my wisdom. It's where I find hope. It's where I read the word of the Lord. The difference came in for me when I start to ask God to reveal his word. And then they had different, because it was religiously reading for many years. And then I said, Lord, you led this to be my life, to be my life, to be my wisdom. Show it. Show me Jesus. Show me the truth. And all of a sudden, the scriptures started to change for me. It's the most exciting thing. I'm just going to read one song for you now. Just to show you how it can change your life, encourage you. This is the life of God in this world. It's his word. People say, I don't hear the Lord, I don't hear his voice. I say, not just go read the word, there it is to you. Most of Those things and those ways, they multiply. Wait, let me get some. They multiply, alright? That will really speed up out of the day. It happened really. And that same spirit that was the genius, the same spirit that is the new, the same spirit that is in the kids' church. You see, the problem is the kids' church in one of the world's fine. Alright, so this word, right, I'm going to read it just with you one song. It is a song, I think it's 50. I don't know if it's from there. Oh. It doesn't say the song way into my notes. Oh, it does. Psalm 57. Okay. The guy who wrote this, I believe it's David, I'm not a good learner, sorry about that. He was really in a bad space. And most of us found ourselves in a deep pit sometimes. And I just want you to quickly go through this with me slowly. My time is up, I need to hurry. Okay, so. It starts with, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, will make my refuge. So I preach to myself this morning, and I preach to you. When last did you go sit under the shadow of God's wing? Because that is our refuge. Until these calamities have passed by, I will cry out to God Most High. Don't get this right, I'm going to shout out. Because when last did you cry out to the Lord? Because we can tear, they know how I can tear for sport and for soccer and rugby and whatever. But when we get to the Lord and when we really need Him and we are so desperate, we struggle to express what we feel. So in my last pregnancy, I thought I was going to die. I had so much pain, I was so weak, there was nobody to help, and I was all alone. I sat in my bathroom, and I'm not exaggerating, I really thought, you know, I'm going to get through the day with these three children. I was all done. They were still 2 days later, I was pregnant with the third. And I can remember, I was putting my hand up and I said, Jesus, help me! I didn't mind what the neighbors thought. And from that moment, things started changing. In that moment, I felt God was something so real. In that moment. So we need to get into our heart, our open field, our mountain. And we need to cry out to Him more. On the top of our lungs, we've never danced or jumped before. We need to start to do that. Just to get out there, we need to look. I'm so desperate for you. I'm so desperate for Jesus. To God who performs all things for me, He shall send from heaven and save me. That is where your help will be sent from heaven. And He will save you. Isn't that encouraging? It will not come from Jesus around the corner. It comes from heaven to save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. And there still lies a moment just to think about it. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. Now look where this verse is. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose feet are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. It is a dark place to be in. The next line, beautiful, in this dark place, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Beautiful, just that part of that worship. Doesn't matter where I am, doesn't matter how many lions are around me, doesn't matter how many people are spitting on me and lying about me. God, I will exalt your name, I will praise you. Then I prepared a name for myself. My soul is bowed down. They have done a flip before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah. My heart is steadfast, God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. When I'm on my lowest point, normally, God will tell me to dance for me and to sing. And most of the time, my reaction will be, God, keep me. Can you see where I am? Can you see what I feel like? Can you see it, Lord? There is no way. And then there will just be silence. And when I get up and I start to move my feet, and I start to worship, the breakthrough comes. Alright? sing and be praised to you. Awaken my glory, awaken who can help. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted above our heads. Let your glory be over all the earth. Isn't this beautiful? It's one song. I want to show it to you. Just one song. It comes out of the word of the Lord, and it's for you and me. And there are many more praises. To encourage us, to help us, and to teach us. Right? We just need to read God's word. That's the one God gave us. Because we want to build something proper for the generation after us. The second thing, I must stop. That is the Holy Spirit. Right? That is what I get excited because my life changed when I invited the Holy Spirit to come to me. I knew Jesus. I had such a struggle to connect him, to hear his voice. So my history actually started by I gave my life to the Lord in 1995, but I was only spiritual in 2001. I couldn't be dead. Only then I really started to see change. Only then did I start to learn the gift of the Spirit. Well, because I can pray for people who are sick to get healed. It's not nothing about me, it's the Holy Spirit that does it. It's the Holy Spirit that leads you, it's the Holy Spirit that gives you discernment, that gives you words to people. Right? That's all the Holy Spirit, and that I need to teach to my children. Otherwise, they will just be religious. So we need to teach to everybody who's looking at us. I just think that the situation that
come and visit me all the time. And I was in a place with her.
and you let him know this guy is so. But Father, you have such great plans for us, Lord. But Father, today I want to kind of pray over this congregation that we will not be afraid to run with you. We will not be afraid of pain or disappointment. It will not hinder us. It will not keep us from running with you. Father, the task is great, Lord. The battle is fierce. But we want to say this morning and recommit to us that Lord, we want to lay down our lives, God. We want to stand, and we want to build, and we want to make a difference. Father, I pray that in the Spirit, Lord, you will start to dress this congregation, Lord, with the whole armor of the Lord. I pray that their joy will be deep from within. I pray that your Spirit will just move in our hearts, Lord. I pray that they will be ready for that. I just say, God, I just want to release the real amount of joy over your people. And I say, thank you for that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the joy will be in their strength, God, in their fierceness, Lord, in their darkness, our Lord. They will love and see your joy, God, in Jesus' name. I pray that you will send the families, Lord. I pray that you will send the younger ones, God, the people that they need to disciple, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us, that we are not left alone. We want to say we are clueless, and we ask that you will come and help us. We ask that you will come and show us the way. Jesus, come and save us from our world. Thank you.